Well, welcome everybody to the first conference of the Legalised Cannabis Alliance, a political party that's devoted totally to the legalisation of cannabis and the utilisation of cannabis for all its beneficial uses. Yeah. I think this is a historic occasion in more than one sense. There's people here that are going to speak today that are from the Liberal Party, from the New Millennium New Wave Party, the Labour Party, and no parties at all, and the Legalised Cannabis Alliance. It's also that Tory party. I'm not sure if there's a bunch of Tories in the audience who don't like to say a few words later on, but nobody's admitted it yet. The other thing that's unique about this is that we're going to tell the truth. You know, we're not trying to emanate certain other political parties that seem to base their whole philosophy on dodgy facts and weird anecdotes, particularly in reference to cannabis, reefer madness, you know. Tony Blair, for instance, says that he's frightened. He's scared stiff of drugs. Well, how are we going to talk about it? How are we going to solve it? What's he going to do, hide in the cupboard? We want to bring it out into the open because we consider an extremely serious issue. It's not simply about having a pup. If you want to have a pup in this society, you can have one. Everybody smokes anyway. A small percentage of people get cautioned or arrested from the police. But it's still a lot of people. But nevertheless, it goes on. It's a very serious issue. To my mind, it's almost as serious as the Third World War, because it is a war. It is a different type of war. It's not a war on another country. It's a war on another culture. It's a war on one set of people. We're not all the same. We're different, but we share something in common. You know, even if you don't smoke cannabis, you know, what we share is a belief that it's our right. We're not demanding our rights. We're not asking for our rights. We already have our rights. Yet every year in Britain, people are locked up. Hundreds of people are locked up, including people with things like MS, including people with arthritis, including 50, 60-year-old people, other people are dragged through the courts. Okay, they're not locked up. They're still dragged through the courts. I've been dragged through the courts. It's very, very stressful. And stress is one of the biggest killers in the world today. It's one of the biggest causes of absenteeism. It's one of the biggest causes of illness. And what does the law do? It just makes us experience more stress. The laws aren't meant to do that. Laws are meant to protect people. We've got crime rate. We've got drug addiction. It's all totally out of control. It's a menace to society. Not taking a substance, not smoking cannabis, but the fact that it's illegal, the fact that they make it into a crime, so everywhere you go, if you have some, or if you're in a room with people smoking some, you are guilty of a crime. You're subject to arrest. It doesn't lead to much respect for the law, especially amongst the younger people. It's also because people who are suffering from everything from MS to painful joints or stress can't legally grow it because some people are too frightened to grow a plant and use it for medicine, they suffer. In England, there's thousands of them. In the world, there's millions of them. When it comes to stress, in England, there's something like 56 million people in Britain suffer from stress unnecessarily. We've got pollution. That's another side of cannabis. I'll explain a little bit about the fuel angle, but it is a fact, it is true, that because we are not allowed to grow cannabis, we're not allowed to use cannabis to make certain products. We have to rely on other products, for instance, fossil fuels, nuclear fuels, paper made from wood, cotton, and so on, that completely pollute the environment in their manufacture, often their use and their destruction. The world is all, every day we hear about people starving. We see people sitting there thin as a rake in Africa because they've got nothing to eat. Because one of the most nutritious seeds on the planet, the cannabis hemp seed, is banned. In case it grows big and strong and so on. Africa, America, Australia, Europe, the story is the same. But armed soldiers and police arrested hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. Armed soldiers burst in on people in the middle of the night, point guns at them, in case they got a little bit of plant, a little bit of weed. Doesn't matter if they're well, it doesn't matter if they're sick. For what? For growing the plant. In Hawaii, they spray the crops from helicopters to kill the cancer plant. And that very same chemical that they spray, produced by pharmaceutical companies, sold to governments at a huge profit, they spray on the people's fields, on the people's food, and people are getting sick because they eat carrots, because they eat apples or whatever they eat. Nothing to do with cancer. The government's completely ignored the fact that people have to eat food and the environment is the environment. You can't separate it one bit from another. In Nepal, whole villages have had to be moved. Whole villages that survive by growing cannabis, by growing hemp, to make clothes, to make oil, and to make cows for smoking, which they consider to be holy in Nepal and India. In Egypt, Lebanon, and Turkey, huge crops have been destroyed. In Britain, about a third of a million people have stopped here and searched. 80,000 have been prosecuted for possessing cannabis. Severely ill people are sent to jail for months or years. But they're lucky when you compare it with what's happening in America, the mother of prohibition. In Texas, there's a man called William Foster, just over 50 years old, never been in trouble in his life. Family man, suffered from rheumatoid arthritis. He was arrested. He was dragged to a court. He was given 93 years in prison. For a weed, for a dandelion. In Texas, 93 years. There's other people in America who are the same time. Maybe in Colombia.
Is that why in America? Sorry,
93 years. Yeah. The point is that cannabis is a source of nutritional food we can feed the world. Cannabis biomass is a source of cheap, non-polluting fuel that we can grow locally. Imagine that, growing your fuel, growing cannabis, turning it into fuel to fuel your houses, your cars and your planes. All free, no charge, free fuel. Who wants free fuel? Free clean fuel. Who wants free clean fuel? How are they going to do that? They cut off the tops and the heads, they sell it as medicine or they sell it as recreational use. The rest of the plant is free. The process to convert it into alcohol is cheap. It can be done locally. But the pharmaceutical companies and the fossil fuel companies and the nuclear fuel companies don't want it. They don't want them to be independent. The cotton industry don't want us to grow hemp. That's one of the reasons it's banned in the first place, because of the cotton industry. In the middle 1920s, when they had the Geneva Opiates Convention, because there was concern about the sons of rich people becoming addicted to opium, so they wanted to ban it. Egypt and Turkey were two countries that produced a lot of opium, and they weren't very happy about not being able to sell their opium. They had to somehow make a profit some other way. Cotton was the answer. But cotton in no way could compete with hemp. So they decided, let's ban hemp, let's ban cannabis. Nobody in England really cares. They took a vote, Britain abstained. You know, 3 years later we had the Dangerous Drug Act. Now we've got, you know, the society we've got today. Those companies pull the strings of the puppets that govern a lot of countries in the world. What about human rights? I say, I have the right. I ask, what right has somebody got to take my right away? When this conference was first announced in the paper, the press took a statement from Acting Chief Constable Colin Lannan Fitt. He was only acting at the time. He said, this organisation has the right to campaign for a change to the law through democratic means. Well, that's changing. There's been moves in the United Nations, you know, to make laws to stop organisations like this. Stop anti-prohibition organisations. Recently, the Methamphetamine Act has come into play in America, and they're trying to introduce it around the world. And that is going to ban internet sites that contain information that's seen in any way to be encouraged in the use of any drug. And it's aimed at methamphetamine, but it's going to be used for cannabis.
Interestingly, that was banned on Arms' website.
Yeah, if it ever comes into play on the Pandora website. Yeah. And what will happen is the government will decide which websites can, you know, provide the information, and they'll control the information that can be provided. So we formed a political party to sort of try and, you know, get our message across. Because, well, you know, in 1992 we formed a campaign to legalise cannabis. And we spent about 8 years writing to the Tory government and the Labour government. We wrote to the Lib Dem Party, we wrote to the Green Party, we wrote all over the place with bishops, you know, everybody. You know, will somebody speak to us? You know, somebody just speak for us. No, so we're going to speak for ourselves. So we formed a party. Even before we formed the party, we approached Howard Marks. That was 1997, and we asked him if he'd stand. And he got 1% and 1.5% of the votes in Norwich North and Norwich South. Very good, actually very good scores for the first time, you know. It also seemed to have a major effect on the campaign in general. It seemed like the Independent on Sunday, for instance, for what their decriminalised cannabis campaign was worth. They had it, they attracted a lot of attention. We had a march, we had a rally, you know. Then the Release and the Linderspiff Institute, you know, they had a conference, they talked about it, you know. They're still talking. Then the Independent on Sunday, they had a conference. A few months after they started campaigning, they had a conference asking, should cannabis be decriminalised? You know, well, what were they campaigning for? Why did they start it if they didn't know the answer to that? 1998, in Norwich, Danny Tungate stood in local elections and he got 7.5% of the vote, which would have given us six. 1999, we had five candidates in Norwich who polled over 300 votes between them. And in 1999, Colin Paisley stood in Kensington and Chelsea against Michael Portillo in the by-election. Colin will be speaking later on. And he gained 142 votes. And I was talking to somebody from the press
And they said, how many votes did he get? I said, 142. 142 in Kensington and Chelsea? You know, that is staggering. You know, we made a noise. So this is really the only party that exists at the moment where if you go and you vote for a legalised cannabis alliance, every politician in the country, everybody knows that that vote is for legalising cannabis. And that is the voice that we're trying to provide, an umbrella to encourage everybody to stand, to make a noise. It's not very expensive, it's not very hard, it's great fun, and it has an effect. So I'm now going to call on Steve Pank, who's going to talk to us about the Misuse of Drugs Act and why on earth cannabis is part of it.